Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of Box Office Breakdown. On this episode, we're going to find out a tale as old as time, for 'twas beauty that killed the beast. Let's do it.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown. Of course, this is the show where every single week we look back at the box office that was, and then we...
I wonder how many of you are itching at home to be like, come on, prognosticate.
Ah, look at that, about the box office that lies ahead. Mm-hmm. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
And what's up? My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. And if you go to ElectroThreads on Instagram and put in the code KLANE, you get 20% off. So this is where you can get that awesome kind of hoodie.
Even me?
Yeah. Well, anybody. Right,
anybody? Even Neil in the booth?
Yeah.
Look at that.
They got hoodies, shirts, blankets, a little bit of everything.
Oh, my goodness.
And you can't see it on here, but there's like, go to my Instagram and you'll see there's a skull down on the lower part of the hoodie.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
And as always, we've got Neil in the booth. Neil, where can they find you?
Or not.
Interesting.
Is this mic on mute?
This is the sting where he makes us seem like fools.
Hello now.
There it is. Yay.
Neil, where can they find you, sir?
I was experiencing technical difficulties. You can find me everywhere on Twitter and the like at the Neil Plumley. That's TheNeilPlumley. Also, Carrie, do they have blankets with skeletons in the lower corners?
I think they probably have the same design, yeah.
That's fantastic.
They have so many. It's so good. It's a lot of bright colors, which I like.
Oh, I
like the pretty colors.
I can hear the keyboards clicking in the background. Neil's
I went to go get food right before this, and I had four dudes working, all like my hair and my hoodie. I was just like, oh okay, thanks.
Carrie Lane is on
point. I didn't
think
it was like, you know, that amazing, but I was like, oh okay, cool. Thank you.
Look at that.
You need a little happy dance, like, oh. No.
And as always, folks, you know what? You can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And, of course, Neil is going to pull up the chat for us so we can hear what you have to say about this week's movies or just the box office in general. And, you know, if you're watching even after the show is streamed live, you know, you can comment. As Carrie Lane
comment down below. And you didn't say it, but give the video a thumbs up on YouTube.
You know, do that.
You do jump to iTunes, but YouTube, thumbs up. We like your guys' thumbs up.
Please, please do. You know, I read my first YouTube comment. And I thought of you.
Wait, have you not read YouTube comments?
I've never, until yesterday, I had never read a YouTube comment.
Wow.
I know. It's just something that just passes by. But I read it, and I thought of Carrie Lane, as I was like, all right.
Was it a good comment?
Luckily, I feel like I should stop while I'm ahead. It was a good comment, so I was like, all right.
Okay, good.
So
I've definitely read all kinds. So
I'm sure there are many that hate the ground that I walk on or the microphone that I talk on. So
yeah.
But without any further ado, let's stop talking about this and let's start talking about some hot box office. Look at that, everybody in the chat. So awesome to see all of you.
What's up?
Oh my goodness, we got Sky, Media Shock, Albin, Adelia. Look at all these fine folks in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I guess there's no doubt that Beauty and the Beast was going to do good numbers.
Yeah, that boycott, man, really successful, apparently.
Oh, yeah. They showed you, right, Malaysia? That's right. Yeah. But I don't know if this did far better than anybody expected. I know Malaysia was trying to trim out some minutes there, like 4 minutes they wanted to cut out.
Oh, okay. I didn't know they were cutting out. No, here in the U.S., there's some, like, mom's blog thing. She's like, well, I'm not going to go see it, and I'm going to boycott. And you're like,
brother. But even though I think people have expected this to do really well, it exceeded even a few expectations, too. And so far, Disney decided to call it with $170 million, but they are projecting it could go as high as $174, if not more.
Andrew in the chat points out, I'm curious how much the actuals are tomorrow going to be. Yep, I agree. I'd be curious how much
for the
weekend.
Look at that.
My movie theater, I tried to go, guys. Every screening was pretty much sold out, so then I didn't see it.
No, it did far better than I thought. And in fact, our box office bet between Carrie, Neil, and myself, Carrie and I, we were just like-minded. So it is $135.
Right?
And
Neil, you should have gone even higher, man.
I really should have. I've been going high like past few weeks. I thought, well, I've been burned.
Okay,
you know, I went really high past like, you know, the entire time I've been engineering the show, past like 5 weeks or so. So I thought, you know what, I'm not going to get burned this time. I'm going to go a little bit more conservatively, and I should have went nuts, honestly.
I almost expected you could have put like 150 as a conservative, and then you would have been like way closer than us.
Yeah. As it was, though, he price is righted us, and I just went 136 million. Mm-hmm. So looks like Carrie and I will be seeing Beauty and the Beast. We'll try the gray stuff before we go.
Okay. I hear it's delicious.
Are you surprised that it did even better than you thought?
No, because family movie and nostalgia, which, okay, this is one of those double-edged swords, guys. Sorry that all those words blurred together. Double-edged swords and guys and you all. We talk about how, like, we would like to have new movies at the box office, but then I'm like, I want to go see Beauty and the Beast. But I would argue it's a little bit different because you're remaking it and changing an aspect of either, you know, cartoon to live action, or like the live action Cinderella where they approach the story differently or took a different angle. And there you go, oh, okay. Because I don't know if you guys saw, it was on Twitter, which I was like, I hope this is a rumor. They were talking about remaking The Matrix. And you're like, no. But I like people's comments where they're like, okay, remake the second one or the third one. They're like, first one, don't touch it. But the second or third could...
Would you be happier if they weren't remakes, but they were just another story?
Or extend the universe. Yeah. Perfect. No problem.
Actually, as it stands, the wording is reboot.
Yes.
So people are sort of thinking that it could be not necessarily a remake, but there's now a theory that since Michael B. Jordan was just cast, that it could be a young Morpheus story. When he first finds, because he gets on, I think the ship that he gets on in the beginning, or when he gets extracted from the Matrix, is the Nebuchadnezzar, and then the crew at some point dies, and he has to captain it.
Okay.
So
that could
be a cool story.
Yeah, take a world we know and expand on it. That's great.
But would you want to see? I mean, as much as I love Morpheus, do you want to see that story? You already know what the end game is. You're like,
There's plenty of young versions of people, of characters we know, but it's fun to see where they came from.
Like young Sherlock Holmes?
Yeah. I like that movie.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I can't remember.
As a kid, it was good.
Speaking of Beauty and the Beast, one of the three of us have seen that film.
Yay!
And it is not two of the people that are in this room. Neil, you saw it. Tell me, how long into the movie was it before you cried?
I almost started crying immediately.
What?
All right.
I'm a weeper.
With the music, did it just get you?
Yeah, you know, it was the music. They do the whole intro with the Beast thing, and there's a narrator, and it went, right when it goes to the part, it was like, and who could ever love a beast? It's like, that part, it's like shot for shot, and it's sort of backing off of him, huddled over the rose, and I was like, all right, I'm losing it right now.
Wow.
I'll wear my glasses so my contacts don't freak out.
Now, compared to the animated film, there's about 45 extra minutes in the live action, so are you happy with things that they changed and expanded?
I would say there are some new original songs.
Oh, okay.
In there.
Okay.
Some of them are good. Some of them are like, okay, that was interesting. I would say Luke Evans as Gaston was pretty much spot on casting. Emma Watson, I think she could have used a little bit better direction, seeing as she was probably acting to blue screen the whole time. So in some moments I was like, well, you could have moat a little bit better there, but I don't think that's entirely her fault based on the circumstances. But the LeFou stuff where he is a gay character is just fantastic. I want more of that.
Okay.
If they were going to expand anything, if there's like a director's cut, I want all the extra minutes to be gay LeFou.
Okay. Nice.
And cause Kevin Kline has a song in this one, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Is that a song that you enjoy? Is it like, eh? Because I keep hearing people saying that there's one song that's sticking with them. But I don't
know. The ones that stick with me are the ones that, you know,
from the original? Yeah. There you go.
I'm probably going to cry of the nostalgia of it and just be like, oh my gosh, it's like, because it just, you know, brings back your childhood.
Now, okay, say they go down the road and they remake Aladdin. Look at Robin Williams' performance. They're so iconic as a genie.
That's going to be hard.
Could you find anything that you could rival, at least just rival, Robin Williams' performance as a genie?
I don't.
As long as they don't cast Jared Leto.
Yeah, there's certain ones where you're like, yeah, we'll see. The online info. I didn't read the articles, but a lot of headlines for Mulan. They're looking at not doing it with music,
which I'm fine with.
To be more of a serious straight martial art with, which I'm like, I'm torn because I kind of did like, I do like the songs of Mulan a lot, but I could see, I think it'd be kind of cool as a serious martial arts, but you could maybe have the songs not necessarily be like them singing it, but have it be, you know, the soundtrack or the score rather than like them singing it. So
yeah, that's good. I like that idea because I agree that songs in the Mulan remake might be a little weird, seeing as if you're going to make it a realistic live action, it's going to be pretty serious.
Yeah.
It was like burned up villages and stuff, and it's going to be pretty gritty.
People die.
Yeah. So, but I like the idea of having them as like background themes because people would really glue onto that.
That's like in Bollywood, there's many movies where like the songs are, we're breaking out into song and dance. And then there's other movies where like it's more just the background where it's a prominent thing, but the characters aren't singing.
Do we bring back Donny Osmond to do a remake of his Make a Man Out of You? No? Do we not do that? Or do we just turn it over to some artist from today to do his interpretation?
It's a good song, too. I like that song.
I
laugh because in funny random Carrie fact, in college I did a couple drag king shows. So that's where girls look like dudes. And we did part of a number to Make a Man Out of You.
Because
that's just a funny one to do with that, too. So
all right.
I made a very pretty boy.
So now if they just went down the entire Disney list and they just started remaking all their animated classics, would you be happy for them to go down that direction?
Make them live action?
Yeah.
I would want new ones.
Because I feel like...
Like, they made Moana, that's like a new one. So it's like, or like, you know how Hercules isn't one of the princesses, but like that story isn't, but it's like a new Disney at the time.
Yeah.
But like, make more stuff like that.
I mean, they're doing The Lion King.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
But I'm like, how are you doing the line? But it's like, they did Jungle Book, so...
Yeah.
See, that one is too... It's going to be too much computer animated with, like, their mouths moving, which... In a cartoon, doesn't look weird, but somehow with live action, it just still doesn't quite look right.
I feel out of all of them, that's the one that I feel like is the least necessary, only because it's so close to its original format. So it's like, why do I need to see a CGI version of an animated film?
Some of them you're just like, no. Sky in the chat said, live action Aladdin's going to be a musical. Mulan's going to be like Cinderella. Songs will be at the end. Yeah. I just would hope they'd continue to make new content, not just be like lazy and do reboots.
But I feel like Beauty and the Beast is going to be
the sign.
I made
it well, so.
Yeah. So get ready for that Black Cauldron remake. I think we've all been waiting for the live action.
Yeah.
The Black Cauldron.
The forgotten Disney movie.
That's right. Or Oliver and Company.
Yes. I like that movie. Or, well, then there's Sage. We talked about how Anastasia's going to Broadway.
Yeah.
So that's different, too. Like, but then that's an interesting way to switch the medium, too, of taking a cartoon and making a live action, like, play.
True. And I guess they went for that with all these films. They also did Broadway versions of these animated films first.
Exactly. Beauty and the Beast was a Broadway thing for a long time. So
Lion King. It's huge. Aladdin, they've been doing.
Oliver and Company is called Homeward Bound. Yes, but no. I'd say yes, but no.
Yeah, because it didn't have Billy Joel. So.
I don't know. Homeward Bound just makes me more, like, stressed of your pet being gone through the woods while you're on vacation. But, though I love the movie. I like both of them, actually.
Yeah, but, like, when the kid at the end, like, gives it, like, oh, he was too old. He's never going to make it anyway.
In the mud pit, and you're like, Animal movies, man. I'm going to cry. So, animal, human distress. I'm like, that's all right. Animal. I'm like,
bawling. It's rough. All right. Continue on with the top five. Coming in number two, Kong Skull Island from Warner Brothers. Another $28.8 million. Dropping at 52.7%.
I think we all said that was number two, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, I feel like Neil was right. He had a strong top five last week. He nailed it.
Did we agree, Neil? Were we the same?
If I remember right, we agreed.
I think we did.
I think we both kept the Shaq in.
Yeah.
I said the Shaq was gone, and I was wrong. I underestimated the power of Sam Worthington, you know? And never underestimated the power of Sam Worthington. I'll have that on my tombstone. coming in number three, Logan from Fox, another $17.5 million. Doing strong.
No, I didn't see it.
You saw Logan, but you didn't see Kong, did you?
No.
Okay. Neil, you saw it. Are you excited about the idea of like combining all these monster universes?
I mean, that's kind of where it has to go. Mm. That's where, I mean, that's, it, it's sort of where it started out, right? You know, you had all these, I mean, I guess it was mostly in Japan. You had all these like giant monsters fighting other giant monster franchises. And it was awesome. And I think they just want those, those big classic kaiju brawls that they had before. Godzilla sort of touched on that with, you know, the recent Godzilla movie that they just made with Gareth Edwards at the helm. But seeing Kong go against that, that's going to be insane. Because this is a huge, huge Kong. Mm-hmm. I think it's part of the reason why they made him so big. Is so he can formidably face off against the King of Lizards.
Yeah.
That's true. I did, there is a place here in Burbank, where close to where we do the show from, called Creature Features. I don't know if you've been there. They have a little art gallery where they do rotating exhibits, and they were just wrapping up their King Kong exhibit, kind of in tying in with the release of the film. But they're also in the store, they're playing the old Godzilla vs. King Kong film.
Mm-hmm.
Man, whew, I just stood there and watched a little bit of it. Oof, that's a little rough one to sit through.
Old? Okay.
Yes.
Sky brought up, that's a good point. Haunted Mansion with Del Toro, that could be really interesting. Though, you know what? I really enjoyed the...
Do not say anything.
I did.
Oh, come on.
I remember seeing that in theaters, and I really enjoyed it. It was so fun, and the ride is just so fun, so I thought it was great. And then, 101 Dalmatians, there we go. That's a live-action remake that I did like, the 101 Dalmatians.
I mean, Glenn Close made a great Cruella de Vil.
I don't think I saw the second one. You didn't like the live-action?
Eddie Murphy, Haunted Mansion? There was, like, I saw the potential in it, and I felt like it didn't go as far as I wanted it to go. It kind of, it got campy at too many points.
Maybe that was just so fun because the ride is kind of campy.
But
that's a way to remake it. Okay, so here's a way to do a remake. So in terms of like they've made it once and it was like comedic and family, but if they redid it as like Del Toro, make it scarier and like a darker movie, then that's cool. Like if you're gonna almost change the genre, that's a remake that I could kind of get behind.
Well, it's supposed to be a continuation of the Eddie Murphy one, so he's gonna be in this too, and you see where his life is taking him. Actually, I would love if he actually decided to take that Eddie Murphy film and then do a sequel and then really just twist it and just make like the darker version of it. I feel like, come on, Eddie Murphy, do it.
I don't know if you guys are seeing around on Twitter, Del Toro confirmed they will not be doing another Hellboy.
How do you feel about that? I mean, one, Ron Perlman is getting up there.
True.
But, you know, still.
I love the first one, and the second one's good, too.
Yeah.
And that world is so cool. But, I mean, it's one of those, I guess I didn't know there was going to be a third, so then I was like, oh, we're not getting a third? Now I'm sad about it. I'm like, why are we talking about this?
Yeah, there was talk for the longest time about doing it, and then it would fall away from the wayside because, you know, the second one didn't do as well as they thought it was going to do, so it just kind of laid there. But always with the idea, like, maybe we can actually raise up enough interest to get a third one made. And it never happened. But did you feel at the end of the second one that you needed a third film?
I don't think I was ever, like, itching. More because it was, you just liked it that you'd want more, not necessarily, like...
Like the story got to the point where, like, I need to see what happens next.
I don't think so. Though I will say at Spectral Motion, I got to wear the Hellboy tail. And
oh, really?
Glove. Yeah. I did a. If you guys like special effects, they went through different who owned it, but Blood and Guts, you can find it on YouTube. It was with the Nerdist, and it was also with Fangoria, but it's a special effects show where we went to prop shops. And so I have it on my Instagram. I have the Hellboy tail, and I got to hold the hand, too.
That's awesome.
So it's super cool.
So how does the tail fit on you? Is it just like...
like a belt. And it's pretty much just like a belt.
And is that pretty much just one solid piece and then...
That one that they had there, yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
And they
cool.
had like the monster things with like the tentacle hair things out in the front. They had one on display.
Oh, that's
Spectrum Motion over in Burbank. I think it's Spectrum Motion.
I don't know if I've. Is it easy to see, or you drive by it and just miss it?
Most of the prop shops, you'll miss them. Mm. Special effects shop, you'll drive by and you're like, where is it? Like whenever I drive to set, I'm like, where are we meeting, guys?
True, because I guess if they showed you all the good stuff, nobody would ever be like, oh, what? Let's go in over here. Coming in at number 4 on our top 5 here, Get Out. from Universal, another $13.2 million.
I did see that. Saw it today at 1 o'clock.
Did you feel, could you say you liked it? It was fine.
I liked it, but I'm not in the crowd that loved it. However, I wonder if my opinion of it has been affected by the hype of it ahead of time. And I was worried about that too. I'm like, I need to hurry up and see it because everyone's talking about it. I need to hurry up and go see it. So I did enjoy it, but I wasn't like, oh my gosh, blown away. There's definitely things in it that it did that are very great and cool. And I can't fully give my opinion on it because that will spoil some of it. But if you have seen it, it's very similar to another movie out there. So then I was a little bit like the concept, they changed it a little bit. So I was a little disappointed in terms of thinking going in, I thought it was going to be completely super original. Cause people are like, oh my gosh, so original. So I'm like, okay, cool. And then I'm watching it and go, they did this in another movie, a different version of it. And this one's a little more, organized, but still.
The film she's referring to is Bicentennial Man, also with Bradley Whitford.
Okay. I don't want to say it because I don't want to spoil it for you people who haven't seen it. But either way, I recommend it because it's a cool suspense horror one. Though I was talking to a friend today, she saw it. She didn't really care for it because she personally didn't really get scared much at all. I felt the tension in it and the creepiness. It's more like a thriller because in terms of like weird and what's going on. And I figured out things sooner than I normally do, too, because I try to turn that off. I try to turn that part of my brain off when I'm watching a movie because I don't want to get ahead of myself because then the surprise is kind of spoiled. Like, I'd never seen it. I watched Kiss the Girls today, too. And if you guys have seen that, there's a character I'm like, that's going to be the bad guy. And it was. And I was like, damn it. I didn't want to be right. I thought it was too... Like, that was, they could have done something to make it less obvious that that person was involved.
When it comes to, horror films?
I know, yeah. Alvin said, don't let people overhype movies for you. I know, I tried. I tried so hard.
And even Alvin refers to, it's not a horror movie, it's a thriller, as you're talking about. Do you feel like having the label of a horror film, more people, because that, I feel like that's a very, I don't want to say like a niche, because horror films, depending on the right one, can do incredibly well at the box office. But you feel like if you're saying horror film, you're almost, you're kind of lowering the quality of it, so to speak. But if you call it a thriller, it kind of elevates it slightly.
Sure, because thrillers you could argue are more heady, like it's more a thought and a mystery, versus horror, which can be more just like blood, guts, gore.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, it could be anything to like the Friday the 13th movies.
Yeah, it can be slasher to torture porn to ghosts to monsters. So, not that I. Oh, yeah. Alvin says, mislabeling in a movie can ruin the experience because you don't get what you're expecting. Very true. I wasn't going in expecting, I wasn't thinking it was something else. I just more, again, I enjoyed it, but I wasn't like, wow. Though there's very few movies recently that I freak out and are super excited about.
True, but it definitely was. I kept on hearing so much about it being a horror film. So when I went through it and finished, I was like, this was a lot less scarier than I thought. But definitely more suspenseful.
It's very tense.
For sure. But I was, when you hear horror, I think you can't help but come in and think like, oh, there's going to be a lot of blood spraying all over the place. It's going to get crazy.
There's different kinds. So, and then
those quality kills, man. With those quality kills.
And one I can't speak on because I didn't see the Belko experiment, which didn't make our top five anyways.
No, it did not.
I hadn't seen the trailer till it was on the trailer bit for Get Out. And I don't want to judge a movie by a trailer because, like, you know, they pick certain bits, they advertise a certain way. But I was watching that, and speaking of remakes or concepts, I was like, so you mean Battle Royale? Because it's, you got to kill other people. You have a chip. Or in Battle Royale, it's a collar that they can kill you. And, you know, just people turning on each other. So then I was like, oh, that's... I mean, it might be cool. Yeah, but I don't like it when it feels too familiar. Because then I'm like, but I just saw it.
Yeah, I feel like the reviews that I've read of the Belko experiment just say that it's not as... They don't do as much of the concept as they could. And that, for the most part, I've seen more negative reviews and very few positives.
On
the Belko experiment. Yeah.
Yeah, trailer's misleading. Yeah, horror films can be smarter. That's what makes it, when they stand out, when they are smarter in terms of like, I don't want a horror movie where you're yelling at the screen the whole time of like, what are you doing? Like, don't go out on the stairs. Like, when they just do dumb stuff. I like horror movies better when they try to do the right thing and it just doesn't work.
How would you classify Don't Breathe? More a thriller or do...
See, that's where I feel horror is a broad blanket, but it is in that in-between category, too. I mean, technically, if you're going with horror as something of... Yeah, in between.
All right.
I did like Don't Breathe, though.
More than Get Out?
They're different.
Okay. But if you had to go back...
Because my problem with Don't Breathe is I didn't like our protagonists enough. So that's the problem, too, of like... Like, I started Iron Fist. I don't really like a whole lot of people in it.
All right. But if somebody came to you and said, like, Carrie, here's a DVD of which both one would Get you Out want? And Don't Breathe. Which one would you watch first?
There's less disturbing stuff in Get Out. There's some parts in Don't Breathe that you're like...
I can
Turkey baster,
that.
Yep. People.
That I admit, it's been a long time since I've been in a theater and kind of squirmed during a scene, and that was a
our whole
scene.
Audience freaked out. Was like, ah. Though it was funny in Get Out today. There's one moment that's, I mean, it's kind of scary, but it's like he gets slapped in the face or something mundane, but somebody down front like yelped, and then we all kind of laughed because it wasn't scary, yeah. But it's funny to hear someone else like, yeah.
I'll give it up for Bradley Whitford, though, man.
That's Alvin great. Says, Don't Breathe doesn't have rewatchability of Get Out. Yeah, Don't Breathe, I'm good the one time. And also, I just didn't like the kids, so I was a little bit more annoyed.
Yeah, I would agree. I'd rather watch
and
Get Out.
I will say also for Get Out, not spoiling anything, external chargers for your phone. Just saying. There's issue with the phone being plugged in. External charger. I mean, you might probably still have the same problem, but still. You can have an external charger and keep it in your pocket.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I don't like dumb things like that where I'm like, I can think of an easy solution. I'm like, what? Like in Get Out, they're breaking into a house. Why didn't you bring a flashlight? Why didn't all of you have a flashlight? Why are you using your phone?
Yeah, but true. But I feel like even though I know external chargers are around, like I think I have. I do have two.
I have
but
like
I've
three.
But I've never used them.
Oh, I use
them. And they. You know,
do you go to conventions yet?
I do, and I
that's
have
when
them,
you
and
use
I never
them
use them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's when I'm those
see
are like
when
my
you're
life.
A convention. Yeah, you don't think when I'm going to go see my girlfriend's parents for the weekend?
I bring my external charger with me because my car charger doesn't work.
Okay.
So, see again, it's one of those. If they had even movies where they have one line about like something you think of, they address it and then dismiss it. Then it's fine. But it's when you're sitting there going, you could have just done, you know. Just saying.
All right. Okay. And coming in number
but
five.
But I liked it. Coming back to that, I know some people when they get hit, they're like, wait. I'm like, no, I liked it. I recommend it.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I mean.
Mildly.
I was going to say, I'd say more, but then it's like, I don't want to spoil stuff.
Basically, Bradley Whitford plays the same character from The West Wing. That's what happens to Josh Lyman, right?
No. I'm just going to like smile and nod at all your weird comments tonight. I'm like, no. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm just making everything.
I didn't watch like, West Wing. I watched like the first episode. That's it.
Oh, man. Well, Bradley Whitford's character in there. That's the same
I haven't
one.
Gotten into it yet.
You're going to love it.
Okay.
But Bradley Whitford's character is there. This is what
shows,
happens.
You know?
To him. Get Out is what happens to Josh Lyman after he leaves the DC political scene.
What is it? Okay. Sky says, so how can directors and writers do better where the film projects, especially when it comes to horror films, where you have to please the audience members the best way you can. No, you don't try to please your audience. You just make something really good and the right audience will find it.
Oh, that's true.
Because that was like a YouTuber comment a while ago that I saw that was very good advice in terms of don't make something to please your audience because you're never going to get everybody happy. You make something that you think is good that you like and you're proud of and the people who like it will find it.
No, because I feel like there are a lot of films, you see them catering to the audience. And, you know, sometimes it works and they do get a lot. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I can imagine it's, for the creator, not as much because you're basically just, your heart's not in it. You're just basically just ticking off boxes. Because, you know, like, audiences are like this, this, and this. But if you get something like Jordan Peele, who's been wanting to do this for so long, has had this idea percolating in his head, and then you just saw audiences really responded to something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to number five for our top five. Yep, Carrie and Neil were right. The Shack had the
still
strength
there.
To kick butt, knock Batman, the Lego Batman movie out of the top five. So it pulled in another $6.13 million at the box office there.
Ah, I like that. Alvin in the chat says, best horror movies are good movies first, then horror second. All right.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, if you feel like you could, because I feel like too often, I think a lot with horror films, like the characters more often than not can just be cliches or archetypes, and you're like, ugh, okay, there's no development.
Or
you don't
gotta
care
make
about
fun
anything.
Of it. Like, damn, I'm like, this thing. And then I'm like, nope. But a horror movie that first came to mind that's not your typical zombie movie is Pontypool. And that's an excellent horror movie. And it's a zombie movie, but there's actually not a lot of zombies. And it's very smart. And you get the tension of the characters because of what situation they're in. And but it's not like cliche characters, so you're not just sitting there going, oh, this is boring.
Yeah, I don't want to see where I feel like the filmmakers are more concerned about like really cool ways of like visualizing the monsters or the killing. You're like, oh, this is gonna be really cool, and they don't care about the characters. They're just basically there to get you to these really cool moments.
And I'm gonna think of it later. I'm gonna be like, that movie. But there's one I like it because they make fun of it. They have a guy show up and they're like, who are you? And he's like, I'm the guy who's gonna save the day. And then he dies. So then they're kind of making fun of the horror tropes of like, I'm the hero. And you're like, no.
Oh, kind of like Sam Jackson in Deep Blue Sea.
I think I saw that.
That's with LL Cool J and Thomas Jane, where he does his big Sam Jackson speech. You're like, all right, this is it. And then chomp. That was a good Sam Jackson quality killer. I appreciated that. All right, so international numbers here. Beauty and the Beast charmed its way into the international box office this weekend with a $180 million start, combined with the equally huge
Feast. That's the name of the horror movie. I'm like, I knew it. I was thinking of the cover. What's the cover? What's the cover? I worked at a video store, guys. I worked at Blockbuster and Hollywood Video, so I always think of like the covers. But yeah, Feast is actually a really good horror movie, and it makes fun of horror movies. So then they go with the camp and the, you know, the humor of it. But it's a cool horror movie. I like a lot of horror comedies where, because it's horror, but then you throw in jokes and kind of alleviate the mood / not take itself too seriously.
Yeah, I thought, again, like Get Out. I mean, some of the people refer to it as a comedy, but it's just like comedic moments to kind of break the tension.
Yes.
Which I thought was good. Anything with his buddy was always just, that was great stuff. So, of course, combined with the huge domestic opening, that puts the global tally for the live action update at a $350 million total worldwide. It is now the number two March debut of all time, both globally and internationally. It just follows behind Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Let's see. So basically, it sprang past pre-weekend estimates on all fronts. And looking at the same suite of markets, it compared about 35% ahead of The Jungle Book, 96% of Alice in Wonderland, which, that's not hard to do because that movie was, and 100% of Maleficent, and 148% ahead of Cinderella. It was also virtually number one in virtually all its debuts in 44 markets this weekend. A dazzling $22.8 million in the UK gave it the highest grossing three-day opening ever for a PG title. And China opened up to $44.8 million for the biggest ever Disney live-action launch weekend. Now, that only refers to Disney films, not Lucasfilm or Marvel films in that. And basically, in a matter of days, the live-action version of Beauty and the Beast will beat her 1991 cartoon version, which ended its domestic run at $218.9 million. So, yeah, that's it's gonna do a lot of money.
Probably.
Probably. Yeah, it's amazing. I did better, much better than I thought. Now, of course, in a moment, folks, we found out who lost this week's box office bet. But Carrie and I have a chance to redeem ourselves because coming up in a little bit, we'll be doing our next box office bet, and we've got four films in contention. Oh, excuse me, three films in contention. We are going to do Chips.
Wait, there's four?
Yeah, I'm going to.
Okay.
We got Chips with Dax Shepard, who wrote this and directed it, along with Michael Pena, a remake of the 1970s series there.
Now, see, that's an interesting thing where when they take a serious show and make it a comedy, like 21 Jump Street was a little more serious, Starsky and Hutch was a little more serious, and then they make it goofy comedy. Chips is the same way. I didn't watch it, but someone was telling me of like it was more serious, and now they're making goofy comedy. So it's interesting they're taking these older shows that were serious and instead of making them serious again, they're like, let's just make a goofy comedy.
Yeah, I feel like they want to make fun of some of the tropes that you saw so many times.
Maybe.
You always saw like really cool car crashes and Chips and stuff.
Yeah.
But the thing is,
do you like that as a fan of it? Or you're just like,
I don't know. I mean, seeing every trailer I've seen for this has not got me excited about seeing this film. I watch these trailers.
Oh, yeah,
no, like,
me too. I'm like,
And I mean, I like Michael Pena. He's great. And Jack Shepard can be fine in the right things, but there's just something about this that is just not sucking me in.
I will say, I'm not too excited for that movie, but there is one thing, to counter what Frank said, one thing that makes me like feel like I want to see it, and that is a Funny or Die short that Dax and Michael and Kristen Bell did.
Yes.
With Kristen Bell's audition for the movie. It's, of course, you know, a sketch that they wrote, but I found that hilarious, and I was just like, okay, maybe I'll enjoy this movie. Maybe not in theaters, but maybe I will enjoy it.
Okay.
That little slice, yes. Basically, Dax Shepard, essentially, it makes her Kristen Bell audition.
Yeah.
She's like, why I'm, you know, why you thought you gave me this part? Why are you making me audition? So you just see what happens from there. Yes, I mean, I guess, you know, that was, I did watch that as well, and it does make you chuckle. So I was like, all right, maybe if that's the idea, then it could be fun. But those trailers.
All the other trailers, I'm like, nope.
Oof, yeah. I don't know about that one. Then we also have Life with Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal. I don't know what it is.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of trailers, depends which trailer you saw in this movie. I don't know how many of you guys had seen the early versions of the trailers and then the secondary. First version trailers of Life were slow and no monster reference at all. Just the little creature thing that touches his finger, and it's very dark and dramatic. New trailer starts off with rock music and how fun they are and shows monster's gonna come and destroy the planet and we have to save everybody. I'm like, those are completely different movies the way you advertise those trailers.
No, that's true. I feel like that's, you see the marketing department at work, they're like, we'll try it this
way. Change your mind. Yeah, because it was the slow one for the longest time and then suddenly a new one.
Which one worked better on you?
I was a little more interested with the monster, but then I was like, I don't, you guys, they show too much. So,
Neela, have you seen the trailers for this?
I have indeed. And let me just say that I feel like I'm excited for this movie, if only because it looks like where Ridley Scott is trying to bring back his Alien franchise. This looks like it's a different take on the same concept, where it's very claustrophobic. There's an alien species that's on the ship that's vastly outpowering the crew. But this has something that the Alien franchise didn't have, where there is... there's just so much more danger for people on Earth because they're so close to the planet. In Alien, it was like, we need to kill this thing so it doesn't eventually get back
to Earth.
And this one's like, we need to kill it immediately because if we fall out of orbit or something happens, it could destroy all life on Earth. Which I think is an interesting development on this old, like, I'll say old, but yeah, you know, this like sci-fi movie monster in space. Archetype.
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I watched these trailers, and it's not at all the same type of movie. Certainly, it's more of an Aliens type feel. But I just get that vibe of like Event Horizon, like Lawrence Fishburne,
so
Sam Neill.
Though.
You know, where it's just like these really good actors in a movie that's just a little bit beneath them, but they decided to do it because it might be just fun.
Was so good.
Oh man.
Where
you just see characters doing, where you're saying like when you're seeing characters act at the lowest. Their lowest intelligence there, where you're making dumb decisions.
That's the thing I hate about the new Aliens trailer of like, we're going to go on a planet. We don't know. We're not wearing masks. We don't send out a probe, like, robot first. Steps on something in the spores. And I'm like, see? Where's your hazmat suit? Where is, like, some kind of covering? I'm like, I'm tuned out already. I'm like, that's the same problem with the last Alien remake. They're like, let me take off my mask and let me touch the thing with my bare finger. No. I'm not even in the science field, but I know enough that no. Like, drives me nuts.
Well, same thing for that Life trailer where you see the guy, like, he's like, this is not going to end well.
He does have the gloves that are inside the thing, but still, I agree too, of like, really? You don't know what it is. I wouldn't know.
No.
Oh, no, but from what I've seen from the trailer, he's doing those experiments throughout the film after they find it.
Yeah.
And then at one point, it starts to overtake him.
Yeah.
But it looks like he's like, you know, doing tests on it periodically throughout the beginning of the film. So I'll give him a pass on that because he's at least approaching it scientifically.
I just don't understand
it that well.
It's just more the one in Aliens, the two bits of the last Alien movie they made and then them not taking their mask off and touching the thing. And then the new one where they're like, let's walk on the planet without any sort of apparatus saving our skin and breathability stuff.
I feel like in any Alien movie, it's always the first person to find the egg room.
Yes.
Is the dumbest person in the entire group. Sorry, and they kind of have to be to move the plot forward.
Yeah, but I feel there's a better way to do it. Because, like, if that's such a dumb thing that even I'm like, no, no way. I tune out. I don't care. I'm just like, you guys are morons. You kind of deserve to die.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it's set up right. Because I felt like Prometheus did a terrible job.
Oh, thank you, Prometheus. Yeah.
That was horrible. When those guys gets his arm snapped and then the thing crawls up inside. Like, that whole scene, I was just irritated watching. Because, like, you guys are idiots. You're idiots, you're idiots, you're idiots, you're idiots the whole way through. If you would have made me believe, like, rationally why they were doing that, but they never did it. It's just like, oh, it killed me. And of course, the other big film, I was talking about nostalgia, Power Rangers coming out as well.
I'll see it.
Go, go, Power Rangers, huh? Excited about Elizabeth Banks?
There was controversy on that casting, too, but I shrug.
I don't know. There's something about their costumes. Like, when they don't have the faceplate on, it just looks...
I haven't watched enough trailers. See, that was one where I saw, like, one, and I kind of was like, okay, I'm not going to watch anymore. I'd be curious to see the new incarnation of it, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, so far, like, I've heard the film is a lot
action
lighter
movie
than some of the trailers have depicted. Like, some of the first trailer made it seem, like, so dark. You're like, what is this? But I hear it is a lot lighter than that.
Yeah.
Which would be good. Neil, how excited are you to see Power Rangers?
Hey, I'm excited, Frank. I feel you know, Power Rangers, it's an institution. You know, it's a juggernaut of morning television.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those international staples that I think making a film, a live action film at this caliber, is definitely going to bring in box office money. I think it has an offside chance of being good, actually.
I mean, I certainly think between the two, if you look at Chips and Power Rangers, I think it's probably easier to get the Power Rangers audience excited and into the theater.
Yes.
Because I feel like these are kids that have grown up watching this, while Chips, so far removed, that it's just going to be a lot of, like, retro fans that I think that's going to be harder to get people like.
Well, that's
like,
why
they're
maybe making a comedy to get new people into it.
I don't know if I want to say the gritty remake of Chips. Like, thanks,
yeah,
guys.
No.
Like, it's almost like Miami Vice. Like, almost that was almost too gritty.
I love the original show, and the new movie was like, see, that the show was drama, but it was a little campy, and it had comedy. I felt the new one, it went too dark, and you're like, no, they're not suave and cool like they were in the show.
Yeah.
No, that was one, no.
So those are our three films. So, ladies and gentlemen, start chiming away there in the chat room. I know Alvin's there. So, Alvin is, yes, Alvin. I'm counting on you to keep track of these votes here for us. So we'll be choosing between Chips, Life, and Power Rangers. How exciting for that. In the meantime, though, we always like to do a look back at somebody that's in a little box office rewind, somebody that's in one of the three films coming out this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to, as always, you know, try to find somebody that is not just always just as a bunch of franchise films in their top five, so we can at least talk about some other films as well. So, especially Jake Gyllenhaal, as much as he's always kind of pursued trying to do like a superhero film or whatnot, it doesn't have a lot of like franchise films to his name. So he had a little diverse of a top five here. So I decided to do his. Coming in at number five for him was Southpaw. It came out in 2015, $16.7 million. I didn't see that movie. I remember the trailer didn't look too bad. I heard it was pretty good, but I never saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in at number four, a film that we talked about with Hugh Jackman as well, Prisoners from Warner Brothers back in 2013, $20.8 million. I've heard really good things about that as well, too, and would like to check that out. And coming in at number three, from Universal, back in 2005, Jarhead, $27.7 million.
I did see that, but didn't love it.
I did not see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember I liked it enough.
Because it's...
I like older military movies, not current day ones.
Because this takes place, in Iraq? A desert
storm?
Yeah,
some of that.
Yeah.
Though I think I like Black Hawk Down, so...
That was a really good one. That was a really good one. Coming to number two... Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time.
I did like that, but wonderful ethnic casting where you go, he's not Persian. But it's funny, I met someone who is Persian and looked like what the character should be because I played the video game, so I was like, yeah.
I don't know, I felt like, I wanted to like the movie more, though. And I just, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal was fine.
You have such high expectations for movies all the time. So you
should
disappoint.
Should you?
But I would lower my expectations so you're not always disappointed.
Well, that's enough. I mean, I just want to just coast.
Though Jake Gyllenhaal was great, it is one of those, like, you could have casted someone who probably was more ethnically ambiguous looking to be that character. But yeah.
Yeah, whatever. But I feel like with that, sometimes you have an actor and a franchise that are a perfect marriage. That are both ideas get you equally excited about seeing the film. And then sometimes you have a franchise that's more exciting than the actor that's playing it. And I feel like Jake Gyllenhaal, fine, but wasn't like, oh my gosh, he's playing. I was more excited about the film than I was about him playing that title character.
Yes.
And then lastly, from him, back from 2004, a little film we like to call The Day After Tomorrow.
That was a good disaster movie.
That was.
End of the World disaster movie. It was good.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. The it did make me think though that we just had one of those everything with like like the Sub-Zero effect where it's just like where
it's cool. Pun intended. Everybody's chiming in on their favorite Jake Gyllenhaal movies, and I'm all Bubble Boy. Come on.
I saw Source Code was number 6 on this list, and I really did enjoy Source Code. I thought that was a lot of fun, Star Drew. That that was a really good movie. Did you see Source Code?
I think so.
Basically, where he kind of he's going back into like
yes. That was cool.
Yeah, that there we go. Hey, Karen, I just communicated with just a few simple words, so it's not to spoil anybody.
We've had too many shows together. Yes.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our box office rewind. Now, before we get to our box office bet, we are going to pick how our top five is going to look next week. Now, of course, we got three films entering in there. We've got Chips on 2,400 plus screens, Life at 3,000 screens, and Power Rangers at 3,500 screens. Do any of those or all of those have what it take to not get into the top five? I'm going to guess yes.
I think it has potential.
But what do you think? Do you think anything tops Beauty and the Beast?
No. No.
I mean, Power Rangers does have a lot of nostalgia.
I think Beauty and the Beast will stay up there. Then probably Power Rangers. Then... I'm not sure, and I'll probably be like, well, I probably should have gone the other way. I'll go with Chips, then Life. Then Kong. It'll maybe just bump them all out. Because they're all new ones that people are kind of excited about.
I mean, because I figure if, say, Beauty and the Beast did half, so you're looking at $85 million. Do you think Power Rangers could do better than $85 million?
It's one of the hard to say.
I also don't know if Beauty and the Beast will go down by half.
I think it's going to stay up because people like me didn't see it, so they'll say next weekend.
That's true, they got boxed out, yeah. All right, Neil, do you have any thoughts about your top five pick?
Yeah, I got to agree with Carrie on this one. I think it's going to go Beauty... Power Rangers. I'm actually going to switch up Life and then Chips. And then Kong.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, it's like, is the comedy or the sci-fi going to win? And I feel those are really, you could flip a coin.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm just going to go with higher screen count.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're looking at Ryan Reynolds, Jake Gyllenhaal.
There's some good names.
Yeah.
Andrew says, Beauty and the Beast, Power Rangers, Life, Kong, Logan. All right. Adelia says, Beauty and the Beast, Power Rangers, Life, Kong, Logan, same. Chips won't get traction. Okay, Media Shock, Beauty, Power Rangers, Kong, Life, Chips. And, oh, Chuck says, all the movies coming out this week look lame. Fair enough.
Chips could go either way.
It's going to bomb or do well. Yeah.
And by doing well, I don't think it's certainly not going to do better than 3 at best. But it could
not even make it.
But if you look at The Shack, it only got... I think it's going to do better than 6.1 million.
Sure.
So I feel like it's going to get in the top five, whether it might be fifth place. So, I mean, I could see Beauty and the Beast, Power Rangers, Life, Kong, and then Chips.
Okay. Change it up, you know.
Yeah, because I'm figuring even if Kong went down another, that's still 14 million.
Yeah.
I feel like Chips is not going to... Oh, man, I don't think... Yeah, it'll be close between those two. But I think Chips will come in at number 5.
All right, in chat room, guys, what are we voting on?
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, look at this. Oh, my goodness. Neil cheats. He stole my order. Star Drew, shots fired towards
true.
Neil.
That's true, Star. I'm cheating right now.
Look at that.
Music fan said, Beauty, Power, Kong, Life, and Chips. Oh, Kong? Really? Okay.
Oh, man, Chip's doing better than Kong. I mean, it could be. That's
Sky
a toss-up right there.
Beauty and the Beast, Power Rangers, Life, Kong, Logan. Okay.
Wow.
Chips not make it.
Oh, Sky Patterson, we know he's anti-chips.
Yeah, it's possible.
Nah, he's more of a...
what are we voting on, guys?
Ladies and gentlemen, yes, Alan...
I haven't seen much voting.
No, I haven't seen any buzz about that. There are three films. Again, we've got Chips, Life, and Power Rangers. Look at that. So we'll give you guys a...
Actually, they have talked about the other one you didn't want to mention.
I don't want you to go down that rabbit hole.
Okay, we got Power Rangers. And we got the one that won't be mentioned.
Yes.
It's 1-1.
All right.
Anybody else?
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, okay.
All right, so...
One more to break it.
There we go.
Come on, anybody. So if you guys are watching this not live, we do have a chat room that's live, and we have them,
all right,
you guys,
Power Rangers
vote on
for
what
number
we should
game.
Vote on and talk about.
And Miguel joins the chat room. Hola, amigos. Hola, Miguel.
Buenas all right. noches.
The finale. We are doing Power Rangers. Look at this.
Artie says I'm voting for the one that won't be mentioned. I know. I'm sorry. It's Frank. Blame him.
You know.
Sometimes. All right, Power Rangers. Wait, we all said two, right?
We did. Yeah, so from Lionsgate's film.
All right.
3,500 screens. You know, we've got Elizabeth Banks. We've got Bryan Cranston.
We got nostalgia.
We got nostalgia. We've got Zords.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got people going and going, empowering and ranging. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do our bet here. As always, the way the box office bet works is that we're going to guess, write down our guesses of what we think the actual box office total will be. The one that's closest gets to brag because they are the prognosticator of prognosticators. The losers will have to go see the film and tell us all about it.
Oh, wow. Neil, okay, we're getting 55, 65.
All right.
You know what?
I got a number for you guys.
You
got it ready.
All right. I still have my 135 left in here from Beauty and the Beast. That's how much I've been using this since then. Man. Oh, gosh. Man, I feel like I'm so torn on this because it could go...
I feel just like Chips. It can do really well. Life, Chips, and Power Rangers are all going to, like, they can bomb or do really well. So,
But I feel like out of all of them, Power Rangers has the most built-in success for the box office. Because, like, those people that grew up on it are going to want to see a new version of
Chat
it.
Chat has a suggestion for you.
Here we go. I think Frank should have to go see Slamma Jamma for cheating us. Alvin, buddy.
All right. Ready our numbers?
That's a vote for me for Frank to go see Slamma Jamma.
How dare you guys.
Adelia only says 45. So we got 45, 65, and 55.
Oh, all right.
I'm probably high, but whatever. High number, that is.
Oh, look at that.
Courtney says 75.
Man, oh gosh, I am so torn on this Power Rangers.
Okay, ready?
All right, Neil, are you ready?
I got it. You want to know what I got?
All right, yeah. Neil, go ahead, go first.
I'm pulling a strong 70 mil. First
tie, me too.
Oh, I went 60. Son of a...
It can go either way, Frank. Honestly,
right?
it's a huge toss-up, this one.
Yeah.
There's so many factors to go into it. I just
think
if Beauty makes about 43% of what it made this weekend, it puts it around... 75 for the weekend, and I think it'll still outperform Power Rangers, so I'm throwing it around 70.
I have to get on a Skype call.
Yes.
They're bugging me.
Oh, no, Carrie Lane's got a Skype call, so we got to get her out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the Box Office Breakdown, but you know what? The fun doesn't stop here. It just gets started, because you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, like the stuff that you see on the YouTube.
Yes.
Just those thumbs. Everybody, thanks for chiming in on the chat. Alvin says Slamma Jamma is going to have a $200 million opening weekend. Alvin, I love the way you think, sir. Look at you. Yes. I love you, Alvin. Thank you so much for always just getting busting my chops. I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, you want to yell at me for not picking Slamma Jamma, Neil, where can they find you?
You guys got me at the Neil Plumley on Twitter. That's TheNeilPlumley.
Carrie?
And you guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE. And don't forget, go check out Electro Threads on Instagram and enter the code KLANE, and you get 20% off. Get cool hoodies and shirts and stuff like this.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Again, thanks everybody for joining
Thank
us. We'll
you.
See you back here next week. Find out who wins this great box office bet. Oh, look at this. Bye, everybody. We
see
love
ya.
You. Slamma Jamma, Alvin, Slamma Jamma.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.